Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, sound of gavel, sound of horns, whatever you want to call it. Welcome to another episode of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ back again. Sunday afternoon. We're kind of changing it up a little bit. Instead of, you know, going more for people to live call in, we're going to try where we just record the show, put it out, and let people listen that way. But anyways, let's get right into it. Big weekend for college football. Championship Saturday. A lot of teams played in their conference championship games. Some controversy around that because Big Ten, Pac-12, SEC, ACC, those four of the five Power Five conferences. The other ones, Big 12 had championship games. Big 12 did not have a championship game. Oklahoma was the outright winner, so there's no Big 12 championship game. The teams I think they were favored to win this weekend won. So that being said, noon Eastern time today, College Football Playoff Committee released their final. Released the final four, if you will.
Yeah.
For the college football playoff system, of course, undefeated, number one. They've been number one almost from the get go. They've been number one in some poll or another, probably by the last couple of months. Clemson, number one overall rank in the college football playoff system. They're going to play against number four. Well, I go in order now. We'll talk about the matchups. Clemson, number one. Alabama's number two. Michigan State, number three. And then Oklahoma, number four. Matchup-wise, obviously one versus four. Oklahoma will play against Clemson. They'll play in the Orange Bowl. And then two versus three, Alabama versus Michigan State will play in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. So my first question to you, do you think – Are you satisfied with the final four or with the four teams that got into the playoffs? Do you think the college football playoff committee or whatever the hell they're called, do you think they got it right?
I mean, yeah, if you're going to try to choose the four best teams in the country, yeah, I think they got it right or as close to right as you're going to get it. I mean, you can some people can argue Ohio State is better than Oklahoma, but Ohio State not a conference champion, so, you know, they needed a little help. You could say Stanford a conference champion, but they have two losses. Albeit Oklahoma lost to a horrible Texas team, people have to understand that's a rivalry game. Like, that's one of those games you can throw out the records. And other than that, Oklahoma has been really going on a rampage, just rolling through the opponents. And three of the last four opponents that they played, if I'm not mistaken, were top 10 opponents. So
yeah, that ain't right. Go ahead.
I just see that it just seems to me I don't like the whole selection process. It feels like the BCS plus one to me. But if we gonna have to go through it, then yeah, I feel like this year they got it right. They're as close to right as you gonna get it.
You know, my thoughts on the whole, and I think I spoke about this a little bit last week. I don't necessarily have a problem with the final rankings. I mean, I think it kind of played out the way most people thought it would play out. Conference champions in those four conferences, because those four conferences, the conference champion either only had one loss or had zero losses in the case of Clemson. The two interesting things, the two things that I have an issue with, if you will, that to me make this system no different than the BCS system is, number one, losing early is better for you. Because okay, and now Michigan State did beat Ohio State, but I wouldn't say that Ohio State has really played all that great this season. They've won, You know, you could say maybe they had a little bit of a championship hangover from last season, but they did. They won, you know, they only lost one game, but they really are a victim of losing late in the season. Because if you
right.
think about it, if Michigan's, let's say they had lost early in the season and they still had beaten, well, Michigan, it would have been a different conversation because I guess Michigan State would be 9-2. But I haven't even heard any discussion about whether Ohio State should be in as opposed to any of the other one-loss teams. You know, because at the end of the day, you're still a one-loss team. It's just Alabama lost earlier in the season. Oklahoma lost earlier in the season. Michigan State lost earlier in the season, and it gives you an opportunity to recover in the polls. So that's the one – that is probably the biggest issue I have with the college football playoff season is I don't think when you lose necessarily matters. You know, if you're good enough – if a 9-1 Ohio State team, unless you're just going strictly out head-to-head, which, you know, Michigan State did beat Ohio State, so that kind of makes that a little bit easier. But you can argue that Ohio State, one loss, the only game they lost, is a better loss than the one game Michigan State lost. I forget who they lost against. It wasn't a big-time opponent. See what I'm saying? But you got that head-to-head, but, you know, it's just like, oh, they beat them head-to-head. Well, you know, are we going by with losses, you know, but.
I mean, yeah, if
they,
man,
you know,
I was going to say, if you're looking at it black and white like that, then yeah, but at the end of the day, when you look at Ohio State's loss, it kind of did matter because they lost, cost them a spot in their conference championship game, whereas Michigan State lost didn't. Michigan State lost
But again, that's not necessary. But that's what I'm saying. There's no consistency there, right? Because a half of the time they talk about the strength of schedule and all of this stuff. You know what I mean? So to me, there's no where it gets a little murky for me. There's no clear definition. I mean, and it's kind of hard, but still, you know, if you got a bunch of one loss teams.
As long as you got people voting, you would never have consistency.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, as long as you trying to go by a quote unquote eye test and what I feel like is a better conference and a better win or a better loss, and yeah, you're gonna always have inconsistencies, and that's why I personally don't understand why they call this a playoff system. This is the BCS plus one, because the only thing that's truly playoff ish about it is the final, because now you have two teams that play another game to get to where they are now. But other than that, this is still the BCS.
Right. And the other thing that gripes me, and I know I talked about this last week, is I still do not like the fact that, and we'll just stick with the Power 5 conferences. I won't go into detail about some of these other subpar conferences that are not good at the Power 5 conferences. It's still,
right.
I think that certain conferences are helped by media bias. The SEC is one of those teams to me. And, for example, is Oklahoma – if you go by who's been playing the best lately, clearly, in my opinion, the three best teams who's been playing the best lately of these last four would be Oklahoma, Alabama, and Clemson. So if you go by that, it's 1, 2, 3, and then Michigan State. But in my opinion, because Michigan State's in the Big Ten – and Oklahoma's in the Big 12, and a lot of the media have this perception that the Big 12 is not all that good. It's just, you know, nobody plays defense. I think it hurt Oklahoma, and they dropped to 4. Now, does it really matter at the end of the day? No, because, you know, you still got to win the next two games. But I think media bias, excuse me, plays a part in it, because as I said last week, if you're in a certain conference, you tend to start off ranked higher. For example, when LSU and Alabama played, I think it was like 2-3 or 2-4, something like that. They were both, I think, ranked in the top 5.
Yep.
Alabama beats LSU. It's a huge win, right? It's a huge win. But now after that game, LSU lost two more in a row. Maybe LSU wasn't as good, but because of the where the media boosted up the SEC. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. That, I mean, that's kind of – that's my thoughts on the Big 12. Now, quickly, those four teams, who you got winning out of Clemson and Oklahoma?
I got Oklahoma pulling out the semi-upset, I guess, if you want to call a win in the playoffs an upset. But, yeah, I got Oklahoma
State.
Winning the close one.
Who you got Alabama-Michigan State?
I hate to say it, but I got Alabama. I think Alabama going to beat Michigan State because they both play the same type of football, and it that usually feeds into Alabama.
And who you got winning it off?
Oklahoma. And that may be a Big 12 bias, but the reason why I say Oklahoma is because Alabama, the matchup that I see happens, Alabama tends to have a problem with with offenses that can spread the ball out and actually can put up points. Michigan State, but Ole Miss gave them fits. Even Mississippi State gave them fits. A&M gives them fits every year, and it's because of the style of offense, and that's all Big 12 play, spreads you out and score points. So it's going to be an issue, and Oklahoma is a point-scoring machine this year.
Shout out Baker Mayfield, quarterback from Oklahoma. He spent his freshman season at Texas Tech, which is where I graduated from, and then
he transferred. Right.
But, you know, whatever. I think that the winner out of the Clemson-Oklahoma game will win the championship. Haven't really had a chance to see Oklahoma play. I haven't really had a chance to see Clemson play. I actually think Michigan State will beat Alabama. I think they're knock it out. You know, like you said, they had two similar styles of play. I think the difference will be that Michigan State has the better quarterback. Alabama probably has a better defense, but I think Michigan State will win the game because they have a better quarterback, and I think it's going to come down to the quarterback making plays, and I think they have the better of the clearly they have the better of the two quarterbacks. I'll stick with the Big 12. I'll run with you in Oklahoma. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to go with Clemson. I think Clemson is going to win it all, basically. Bob Stoops has a history of losing big games. I don't know why, but I mean, this year may be different because he hasn't done that this year. But that's my pick. I got Clemson winning it all as the number one overall seed. You got Oklahoma. Let's move on to not just the NFL, NBA, officiating in general. Everybody has known there's been officiating issues, probably more than I can recall in a long time, officiating issues across the board, whether it be the NBA, the NFL, college football. I mean, it's just been everywhere. Now, the one thing I want to know your opinion of, get your take on is, do you agree with how the NFL and the NBA are handling these things? And if my memory serves me correctly, I want to say the NBA may have started this last year, but they release comments, if you will, about like the last 2 minutes of games, you know, whether officials made the right, if there's close situations, close plays, whether the officials made the right call, they made the wrong call. The NFL has just been doing it like a lot more in general. Do you agree with that stance on the NFL, the NBA, college football, whoever it is, coming out and saying, yes, on a game-to-game basis, it seems like, yes, the officials got it right, no, the officials got it wrong?
No, I don't agree with that because, for one, what does it change? And for two, all you're going to do is open up the table for a discussion on how bad your referees are. To me, it's really a moot point. Like, I don't get it. Like, there's no positive for it. Like, only thing that's positive about it is that the person who said that the call was wrong can say, I told you so. That's it. Other than that, like I say, if I lost the game on that call, I'm not going to get the win. We're not going to replay that down. Nothing is going to happen. Don't tell me that. I already knew it.
I think that these organizations, meaning NFL, NBA, whatever, I think that the only time you really should comment publicly about an officiating mistake or an officiating situation is if we get if there's a situation where we're talking about a very, you know, one of those back of the book type rules. You know, it's like, well, hell, ain't nobody made that call in 20 years. You know, something that you don't see happen very often, that you can take this as, you can take it as an opportunity to educate your fans and educate the public on a specific rule in the rule book. Because if you look at a lot of these calls that these particular organizations are coming out discussing the referees correct the either correct decisions or incorrect decisions, a lot of them are subjective. And to me, when you do that, when you come out and you say, for example, the Green Bay-Detroit game Thursday, face mask, no face mask. I think the refs called it a face mask. The NFL said it wasn't a face mask. Right? To me, you have enough of those calls, you degrade your product, because then people start to question whether or not, you know, any game is going to be fair. Me, you leave yourself more open to, well, are the referees leaning more this way? Are they leaning more to that, you know, to this team? Are they leaning more to that team? And I don't think it benefits. Like, I agree with you that it doesn't really do anything for anybody. For me, as somebody who used to coach high school, the only thing I would like as a coach is some sort of acknowledgement that I was correct. When I'm in a game, and if I think an official made a bad call, we're all human, you know. Only thing I want is an explanation. If I'm the head coach anyway, because I feel like as a head coach, you have that right. The referees at least owe you an explanation on why they made a particular call, what they saw from their vantage point. But other than that, you know, you get the explanation. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. Who cares? You move on with life. But I don't think it does any good to continue to come out and say, you know, hey, you know, this referee screwed up. Hey, that referee screwed up. Because to me, what you end up doing is you put the referees in a situation to where, you know, I would think you're almost scared to throw your flag.
Yeah.
Or you think twice about making a call. Well, you know what, I'd be better off not calling that. Or do I go ahead and just throw the flag out there, just, you know,
could make it a whole lot easier on their refs by just making the rules a whole lot more simple, too. Like, what's a catch, what's not a catch. Like, I could really be simplified. But, I'm with you. They just put their refs. Really, the refs are in a bad, on a lose-lose situation right at this point, because everybody is capable of being the ref with instant replay. If you see something, if the ref got it wrong live action, and they get it wrong because of some letter of some rule on instant replay, like we see something totally different, but they have to come out and say incomplete pass or, you know, whatever the challenge was because of a rule and the way the rule is worded and all of that other crap that the fans don't know, then, yeah, you kind of subject your rule, your refs to criticism from the public, because we clearly see one thing and your rule says it's another.
I mean, to me, the other thing that adds fuel to the fire is I think there's a lot of stupid people in the world, and people that get caught up so much in fandom. Either they're such big stan for their team. If you don't know what stan is, it's a reference to the Eminem song about the over-exuberant fan. So that's what I call fans who are just like way overboard for their team. I call them stands. But anyways, you know, these people are stupid, or they're so deep into fandom for their team that they can't see things clearly. Because if you watch an NFL game, or you coach, or whatever you do related to any sport, you understand, especially in football and in basketball as well, a lot of the calls are subjective. You know, some of them are, out of bounds, out of bounds. Right?
Right, right.
But what's the, you know, if you're playing football, like you said, what's a catch, what's not a catch? Well, your interpretation, we can read the same words and interpret it differently because it's subjective.
Uh-huh.
You know, what a football move to you may be different than what a football move is to me. Or you may say 3 steps and he's got to turn his head. That's a football move. I may say, hey, he's got to take 2 steps, and as soon as the second foot hits the ground, boom, he's made a foot, you know. So I think if fans start to understand that a lot of officiating in football, basketball in particular, is subjective, then maybe they can stop some of this standing that they do. Oh, the NFL is cheating and the NBA is cheating, blah, blah, blah. You know, and the other thing is officials are human. They're going to make mistakes. It's just like coaches make bad calls. General managers make bad decisions on players' side. They're going to make mistakes. I mean, you know, you can't expect them to be any more perfect than the average human being, than the average human being would be. But you know, enough of the official talk. I want to talk briefly about OG Kobe. If you've been living, if you haven't been paying attention, you've been out of the country or maybe living under a rock somewhere. Kobe Bryant announced that he is retiring at the end of the season. He wrote a poem, Dear Basketball, you know, basically said the same thing that anybody with two eyes could see, unless you were somehow oblivious to the real world. Kobe Bryant is washed. He said that mentally, he could still do it mentally, but physically his body said it's time to bow out, something along that line. Do you think Kobe should have retired on the spot? Or do you, how do you feel? I mean, basically, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do you feel about him going out the way he's going out? Because he hasn't really played very well over the last few seasons that he, you know, it's been a few games, a handful of games, and he gets injured out for the season basically the last few years. And hell, this year, I mean, I don't wish any injuries on anybody, but I'm sure it's a lot of people who probably wish he was injured because he's playing that bad.
Right.
But do you think he should have just said, you know what, I'm playing so bad, I'm OG Kobe, I'm just going to call it quits right now because I don't want to go out like this, as opposed to be out here in these streets looking like Ezell?
Nah, man, Kobe got the right to go out how he want to go out, but he do look bad out here. I mean, ain't gonna lie, it's kind of tough to watch him go out there and shoot. Like it's really hard to do that. I mean, don't get me wrong, he had a decent game. What was that against? Who did they
play good the other night? I forgot who they played against.
Yeah, he had a good, but that was like the first good game he had all season. And as a fan of a great player, yeah, that's kind of tough. Like, that was kind of watching Jordan when he was in Washington, like, giving us four-point games, and it was kind of bad.
You can't compare Kobe to Jordan when Jordan was in Washington. Jordan was still shooting, like, 44%. He averaged 20 points a game. Nah, Kobe ain't playing like Jordan was when Jordan was, what, 40 or whatever
so
when he came out
to Jordan, so you're saying it was good watching Jordan in Washington? Like, that was like watching Jordan in Chicago?
No, I'm not saying it was like watching Jordan in Chicago, but what I'm saying
that is the comparison.
This
I'm
is
not
the difference between
as well.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. You can't compare. This is the difference to me between Kobe when he walking over right now and Jordan and Wizards. In the Wizards. At 40 years old, Jordan was still playing better than a good portion of the league. When Kobe walk out, there ain't very many people Kobe playing better than right now. The only reason Kobe is allowed to do what he's doing, because he is Kobe. Otherwise, you think somebody be out there shooting the ball 18, 19 times a game, shooting 31% from the field and 19% from three-pointers? Hell no. Nah. They either be cut, they definitely be on the bench, but they ain't going to consistently get 35, 36 minutes a night, but that's what Kobe doing because he's Kobe. That, to me, that's the difference. Ain't too many players right now, at least the way it looks, that Kobe Bryant is better than in the NBA. But I would say when Jordan was 40 or however old he was and he played for the Wizards, he was probably better than a good 60, 70% of the NBA. I ain't going to say he was top 15 or nothing like that. But I think Jordan, you know, he was still better than most players in the NBA. He was damn sure better than Kobe Bryant is right now. But, you know, I'm a Jordan guy, so I could be biased. I won't say that I'm not. But I'm just saying.
I wouldn't say.
Yo, Kobe is airballing layups.
He was way better than Kobe is at this point. I give you that. But I ain't going to say he was better than about 70% of the league. But, yeah, he's better. Like, now, I'm not saying that Kobe's playing as well, but if you look at the drop-off, like the drop-off in greatness, the stuff that you was used to seeing Jordan doing when he was wearing 23 in Chicago and the stuff you saw him doing wearing that Washington Wizards jersey is two different people. And that's what I'm saying. The Kobe you see now is a totally different person.
We disagree with that.
Than the Kobe that you was used to seeing when he was playing even by 5 or 6 years ago with Andrew Bynum.
But the thing is, though, to me, yes, Jordan in Chicago and Jordan in Washington were two different players. But the Jordan in Washington was still pretty good. This Kobe Bryant ain't good.
That,
it ain't no way around
what
it. That's why, for me, there's no comparison. Because Kobe Bryant right now, he ain't good anymore. He ain't good. I mean, ain't no two ways around it. Kobe Bryant is basically holding the Lakers hostage right now. Nobody wants it. Who?
Jordan was not good in Washington, who?
Yeah, it was like 20. I don't have my computer in front of me. I pull up his stats. Over 40%. He either averaged 19 or 20 a game. He definitely was playing way better than Kobe. He was hitting game winners. Come on, I think Jordan had a 40-point game at 40. I'm not saying he was an all-star, but I'm saying he was better than average when he was at 40.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Kobe Bryant need to give a fuck about the NBA. That's what it comes down to. It's time for him to ride off into the sunset. He, you know what I'm saying? He playing that bad. And I don't have a problem with superstars start not playing as well as they once did because it happens to everybody. You know, Father Time is undefeated. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Father, it's just like look at LeBron hairline. Father Time is undefeated, son. You see, it is gone with the wind. But, you know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Kobe Bryant in particular. I do not like it when I just cannot stand when people say, oh, well, somebody has earned the right to play like this. It's like, no, he hasn't. You know,
well,
listen,
yeah.
when you suck your ass, it's time for you to get fired. You know what I'm saying? You don't
earn the right to play like that. I meant to say earned the right to go out on his terms, but
I didn't hear you say. I'm just saying, like, I hear it all the time across sports when I listen to, like, the radio or TV. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning has earned the right over his 17-year career to come back and play when he ends. It's like he's fucking 5 for 20 his last game. He had 4 interceptions. You know what I'm saying? If this was anybody else, I mean, I'm just speaking. If it was anybody else besides Peyton Manning, they'd be like, hey, y'all might, he need to get the fuck off the team. But it's because, you know what I'm saying? I'm just using Peyton Manning as an example. You know what I'm saying?
That
just kind of drives me crazy. But, you know, best of luck to Kobe. I ain't going to watch it because I, you know what I'm saying? I've never really been a Kobe fan. I respect his competitiveness. Who's better, Kobe Bryant or LeBron? Not at this point, at the peak of their careers, who's better? Kobe or LeBron? Who do you take?
I would go Kobe.
Ooh. I think it would be based on the makeup of my team, but, I might have to take Kobe as well because LeBron can't shoot. Not that Kobe Bryant was ever a great shooter, but LeBron is, you know. Thank y'all for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yeah.
We're going to keep doing them. Hopefully we'll make them longer in the future. Talk that talk between you and LJ.